These are the Wealth Choice Calls with Steve Karlovsky. In this call, internet entrepreneur Vic Johnson explains how to claim your financial power.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the call. This is Steve Karlovsky, creator of Growth Guides and WealthIsMyChoice.com, and I'm going to be your host this evening. Thank you all so much for joining me on this call. You're listening to the kickoff call of the Wealth Choice Teleseminar Series. It's been such an amazing experience putting this series together for you and reaching out to so many of the financial success experts that I really respect and admire, and sharing my personal motivation for doing all this and having it so well received. But the best part is that all of you will get to listen and learn from, you know, David Ricklin and Nick Cifone and Morgana Ray and so many others, including the one and only Vic Johnson. Vic is the creator of the Claim Your Power Now seminars, and that's where I first heard Vic. Got to hear him interview some of the very best personal success coaches, folks like Bob Proctor and Jim Rohn and Lisa Jimenez, and that's just to name a few. Vic's also into some very old and very powerful books. He speaks and teaches around the works of James Allen and Napoleon Hill, and he lives them in his life as well. He's a very successful internet businessman and a highly sought-out speaker on personal development. Now, I happen to know a little about Vic's life story, and if you're here listening to this call, and you're watching what's going on Wall Street and what's going on with foreclosures and in your life, and you're really worried about your own future, then pay close attention to where Vic used to be and how he turned it all around and how he got to where he is today. And I am just thrilled that Vic was able to carve out an hour from his crazy schedule to be with us tonight. Vic Johnson, welcome to the call.
Well, thanks, Steve. I'm excited to be with you, and congratulations on getting your series started, and you're going to do some great work and touch some great lives.
That's the plan. That's the plan. I mentioned kind of your story, you know, where you were 10, 12 years ago. Are you willing to share a little more of that with the folks?
Well, sure. And, you know, I mean, I think, though, it's probably a little different than even those people who know the story probably don't kind of put the pieces together, because I'm actually the poster child for the fact that the current state of the economy has absolutely nothing to do with your own personal economy. In other words, your fortune is not dependent one way or the other on what's going on right now. Now, you may choose to see it that way, and if you say, well, Vic, I'm a Wall Street trader, you could be a Wall Street trader, and based on seeing it the right way, you could agree and see what I'm speaking of. And I use this as the example, Steve, because there are so many people today, I mean, just scared, and you can see the fear. And all the stupid decisions that are being made. People that are dumping their 401ks and retirement plans, and people who are not sophisticated investors who are bailing out, taking huge losses, and it's because of fear. But, you know, back in the mid-90s, we were enjoying, the world was, not just the U.S., the world was enjoying the largest economic expansion in the history of mankind. There were more billionaires and more millionaires created in about a 4 or 5 year period in the mid-90s than at any time in the history of the planet. So one would think that Vic Johnson was sharing in that and was doing great. If you think that, you'd be wrong, because in 1996, my family and I were evicted from our home. Judge gave us 48 hours to get out. We had no place to go. We had no money. If we'd had a place, we still didn't have any money to go. And then a year later, we lost the last automobile we had to repossession. And for more than a year, I transported my family in a 12-year-old ragged-out bomb that I borrowed from a friend. And that's just a small, you know, kind of thumbnail. In 1997, I paid a whopping $14,027 for the total year. I mean, not paid. I earned $14,027 for the entire year with a family of five, that qualified us below the U.S. poverty level, in fact, way below the U.S. poverty level for a family of five. Now, let's take it and go to the reverse side of that, because during the last recession, 2001, we have dot-coms going belly up everywhere. I mean, the Internet had taken off pretty fast at the end of the 90s. A lot of people jumped in with a lot of money, a lot of people raising money to fund new ventures, and there are all types of startups and, you know, websites coming. And then in 2001, part of the dot-com bust brought on the last recession. There were a number of things. 9/11 didn't help, but a number of things that brought that on. Now, one would think then, well, Vic wasn't doing very well then. Well, they would be wrong, because I actually decided in the middle of all of that to start my Internet business. While most people are fleeing the scene, I thought that was a great opportunity and created an Internet business that in its first year earned me a six-figure income, which that right away says it does something that the vast majority of businesses never do, which is make a profit in the first year. But it created a six-figure income for me within the first year. Within a handful of years, created a seven-figure business for me. And, you know, the idea that all of the external things have any effect at all is a notion, unfortunately, that the masses have bought into. And that's something that I was very fortunate to learn from reading Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich, and reading James Allen's As a Man Thinking, and being mentored by people like Bob Proctor and Jim Rohn. And the truth is that you create your universe. You create everything in it and about it. I created the terrible situation that I had in the mid-90s. I had to finally fess up and take responsibility for that. Mm-hmm. And when I did, believe it or not, things began to get better. Once I had accepted responsibility, then I was in control, because whoever has the responsibility has the power. And so once I had taken responsibility for my situation, I was now in a position of power, and I began to move and correct that. And, you know, then the result began to show in a positive way. So the message is very simply, you know, you can watch what I call the CNN constantly negative news. You mm-hmm. can watch that and believe that the end is near. But I will tell you this. If you've ever heard of a company called Hewlett-Packard, HP, the largest computer manufacturer in the world by mm-hmm. far, they were founded in the middle of the Great Depression. General Electric was started in the 1800s, in the middle of the worst depression of the 1800s. And I could go on and on and on.
Sure.
There's all kinds of examples of people who have the opportunity is now, and the reason the opportunity now is obvious, because all the amateurs have folded up their tent and gone home, because they can't play in this particular environment. And now the people that the most money actually will be made right now. I mean, there was a reason why Warren Buffett the other day invested $6 billion in, I don't remember which company it was. But there's a reason for that. You know, I mean, you take the world's second, third, or fourth richest person, whichever ranking he is this year, and he's out investing money as people are selling in the, you know, selling out, taking their money out of the market, and he's out investing in it. Yep. You know, you might want to follow what Warren does. He might have a little idea of what's going on.
Last year, I attended a large, I won't name it, but a large kind of traveling, it was like a real estate focused kind of show. Many, many thousands of people go to this thing, very high profile speakers, goes on for a few days. Came to Chicago last year, and it was the second time I'd gone. I'd gone 2 years earlier, and so last year was 07, so I went in 05. And in 2005, you know, the economy's cranking along pretty well, real estate's doing really well, place is just packed with people. And I went back last year in 07 and bought half as many folks. And I walked in thinking, well, this is, you know, boy, this is a sign, you know, what's going on with real estate. This is kind of depressing. But what I found was the people that were there were relieved that the other people weren't. You know, the ones that were there were the ones that figured out, well, now this is where, you know, there's opportunity here.
Right.
And these other folks have bailed, so now here's our chance to do what we know how to do.
Right. Absolutely. And part of the run-up in the housing market and part of the run-up in the stock market to 13,000 Dow and all that stuff, part of that was all brought on by amateurs out there playing in both of those markets who, you know, didn't really understand value and kind of bid the market up beyond both the real estate and the stock market up beyond a place where it was to a point where it was really it exceeded its real value. And that's an economic, part of an economic cycle that's been going on forever. I don't care, go back as long as history as you want. Everything in nature is a cycle. You know, everything.
Yes, it is.
There is nothing in nature that does not operate on some type of cycle. And our economies do as well. John Rockefeller, the old man, the original John D., back during the Great Depression, leveraged his fortune. He borrowed heavily against his fortune to invest during the Great Depression. Why? Because he knew he could get bargains, and he did, in fact, and it tremendously multiplied his wealth when the economy began to recover. So we're in this. It's just as false when you're in a position like we are now as it is when, you know, like you were talking about in 2005 when the real estate market was just hot as a firecracker. It's just as false now as it was then. The values, I mean, I've seen, I'm not a great stock picker, and I tend much more toward mutual funds and where there's some advisor or whatever who knows a little bit more about it than I do. But, you know, I've sat there and said, okay, you know, I've got to have patience because I want to jump in and invest and I want to, you know, but I've got to have the patience to do what Warren's doing and what some of these other people, and that is, you know, invest some now, watch it, invest some later, watch it, invest some later. But certainly now is not the time to, you know, the funny thing is amateurs buy high and sell low and professionals buy low and sell high. There, huge difference.
Yeah. Well, you said something a little bit ago about at some point you looked at what was going on in your life and you accepted responsibility for having caused it. And
well, I didn't want to do that. I don't think anybody wants to do that.
No, they don't.
I avoided it, you know, for as long as I could.
Yeah, but you know, you're sitting there in the middle of an economy that's going really well, doing personally very poorly. My guess is that kind of throws it in your face every day, right?
You always find somebody to blame. When you want to justify, you know, when you want to justify anything, you can always find justifications. The fact that the economy was doing well, I mean, you know, I could still blame it on my ex-spouse. I mean, I still had other, you know, I could blame it on a bad business deal that went, you know, kind of went sour where I got screwed in the business deal. There was all kinds of things for me to blame it on. The fact that the economy was doing well, you know, didn't make it, couldn't blame it on the economy, but there was certainly enough other things that I could blame it on. And
right.
As long as I, you know, blamed it on those other things, then that's where the power was. So you give your power over to whatever that thing or that person is that you think has the responsibility for a particular circumstance that you find yourself in, whether it's your boss or your company or your ex-spouse. You know, maybe you're you've just recently been terminated. There are a lot of companies, again, out of fear in many cases, are laying people off. Maybe you find yourself in a position for the first time in your life and you're unemployed and you blame that on your employer. Your employer has absolutely nothing to do with that. You find yourself in the position that you're in today because of a decision that you made earlier. At some point in your life, you had another choice at that time. It may not have been apparent to you. You may never have considered it, but we all have choices as we go through life. During the time that you were in that job, you also had choices to leave. You had you had opportunities to go do something else. You made a choice to to work that job, and first of all, you can't beat yourself up and say I made a stupid choice. You made a choice, period.
That's right.
And that choice is what it was. So much of the time we want to color things. We want to find someone or something to blame. We want to see it in positive or negative or what, instead of just looking at it and seeing it for what it is and as it is. Make no more of it than what it is. It was a choice. It was a decision. The decision didn't turn out the way that you wanted it, but I would bet that in experience there is some phenomenal fruit, and that's exactly what I have, Steve. I mean, I am able today to earn the income that I do and have accomplished some of the things that I've accomplished only because I had that experience that I had in the mid and late 90s. I would not, absolutely would not want to have to go back and live through all of that again, all of the misery of having your lights electric cut off and having, you know, coming home and your phone's disconnected and, you know, what do you say to your kids? I had kids, a teenager and younger kids as well. What do you say to your kids when you come home and the electric's off? And what do you say to your kids when you can't give them lunch money in the morning? And, you know, I wouldn't want to go live through that again, but I'd do it all over because I know what the result is, and the result is where it's brought me, and I couldn't be where I am today had I not lived through that. So,
well, the fact is, you don't have to live through it again because you learned the lesson the first time.
Sure. I learned the lesson, and that's what James Allen writes in As a Man Thinketh, that a lesson will continue, or maybe it's in Above Life's Turmoil, he writes, a lesson will continue to present itself until the lesson is learned, and then at that point in time it'll pass away because it's no longer needed. So, you know, whatever struggle you have in your life today, there's some lesson there, and learn that lesson. And then it will pass away, and guess what? You'll get another test. There'll be another lesson come along, and you'll need to learn that lesson. I can't remember the person who said this. One of the best quotes I ever heard in my life said, there are no mistakes in life, only lessons. So, you know, we make decisions. Sometimes they don't turn out the way we want them, but they're not necessarily a mistake. It is just simply a lesson has been created from that. If you learn the lesson, you will move on, and another lesson will come along.
Yeah, I'll share with you. I heard it slightly differently. It's that it's not they're I'm sorry, I just blanked on the word. They are you call them lessons. I'm gonna have to come back to it. Oh boy, it's an age moment, I think. This is lousy. Anyway, but you said something before about James Allen. You know, you have these books that you constantly talk about, and you make them available for free on your websites, like As a Man Thinketh, James Allen, and Think and Grow Rich, and things like that. What drew you to those books in the first place? I mean, how did you even find out that information was there to be drawn from?
You know, desperation, looking for answers. You know, trying to figure out why I was living in the misery that I was, and wanting to change it, wanting to fix it. I mean, I had the same choice everyone else had. I looked at my situation. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of a long time by a lot of decisions that I made over time. And those decisions at one point all manifested themselves in a very, very distressful way for me. And so, you know, I went seeking the answers, and you know, as I said, when I started my search, the blame was elsewhere. So guess what? I was looking elsewhere. What's amazing is we spend so much time, so much energy, so much effort looking for answers, and it's kind of like the old song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Well, we're looking for answers in all the wrong places because we're always looking outside, and the answer's always inside. And, you know, James Allen, again, a famous quote that he had in his book, I use this one a lot, it is impossible to move within and stand still without. That one statement is the biggest clue that's what's going on inside of you right now is responsible. responsible for what's going on the outside.
Yeah,
would you change inside? It is impossible to move within and stand still without. So when you make some change, any change on the inside, it will, by law, by universal law, be reflected in your life on the outside. Now, it's not always necessarily an immediate change, but it will, because there is what is called the law of gender, which says everything has a gestation period. You know, it takes 90 days to grow a seed of corn. It takes 9 months to go from conception to birth of a human being. Everything has a gestation period, and, you know, thoughts have gestation periods, goals have gestation periods. There is some period of time, typically, that takes place from the time that you change the inside to where you see the result on the outside. And the amazing thing is that when I began to make that transformation, when I accepted responsibility, and when I began to accept these truths that I had read about, then I knew deep down inside, I knew that my life was changing, even though I could not see anything at all. And one of the primary values or characteristics, rather, of super successful people is that they are able to see in the present circumstance, no matter how bad it may seem, they are still able to see their goal. They are still able to see where they're going and what they want, despite the current circumstance, despite the current condition. Very, very powerful. But to go back to your question on the books, I was searching, and of course the old adage or the old proverb, if you seek, you shall find, applies. So I was out seeking, so guess what? I found. I was successful in my search. I was really seeking hard. But it was suggested to me that if I would develop a habit of reading 15 minutes a day from a good book and create a habit out of that, and it was suggested to me that all successful people are first and foremost big readers, then it would change my life. Well, you know, I figured, heck, if 15 minutes will work, then I'll do it 30 minutes. And then I said, well, heck, if 15 minutes will work, then I'm doing 30. I'll do it for an hour. I was that desperate for change. So there were days I'd read 2 hours. Now, I was trying to, you know, earn a living, those $14,027. That's a whopping living there in the whole course of a year. I had to keep, you know, something on the table the best that I could. So, you know, I'm like everybody else. I had responsibilities. I had a job. But I just, every available moment I read. I was at one point reading more than a book a week. And that's how I was able to read 1,000 books in 10 years. And those books tremendously changed my understanding, my outlook, my knowledge. And most of them were classic books. James Allen's As a Man Thinketh, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, David Schwartz's The Magic of Thinking Big, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, and on and on and on. And, you know, the reality is that I have never met anyone who has achieved lasting success who is not in some way could be called a big reader, and most of them are, it's very, very apparent. Some it's not so apparent, but, you know, Bob Proctor, I was at his home a couple of months ago. There's a library, 3,000 or 4,000 books in it. You know, his most precious place in his house. You know, he's got books in there that are just so incredibly powerful and valuable, and, you know, everyone that I encounter who has the mark of success on them, in conversation with them, it doesn't take long before it comes out that they read a lot. So,
I remember what I was going to say a couple minutes ago.
Okay.
You said that in the failures of your life come the lessons.
Right.
What I've heard is failures are feedback.
Sure.
So, you know, what you're doing is you try something, and because you can decide you don't want to fail and not try anything. And, well, guess what? Not much is going to change in your life.
Great book, by the way, called Uncommon Friends. It's a book that a gentleman who had, you know, and I just can't imagine having lived his life, because he, in the course of his life, he became friends with Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, Harvey Firestone, Charles Lindbergh, and Alex Carroll, who was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. And he writes a book about his life with those gentlemen and the friendships that he had. And, you know, especially as it relates to Ford and Edison and Firestone. They very definitely were people who were focused on feedback. They purposely would put themselves in a position to fail time and time and time again, because they did value the feedback. I mean, that's really how they created the phenomenal inventions and came up with the incredible products and all the things that changed our life. I mean, those gentlemen, their work changed our life, and they were able to do that because they were really into the feedback thing. They wanted to see if it worked, and if it didn't work, what do I need to do to change it? And that was their life constantly. That's how they lived. And I believe, if I'm correct, that taking that approach, if you go back over and average out over his lifetime, Thomas Edison received a patent for one of his works every 3 weeks during his adult life. That's pretty incredible.
Well, the story of, you know, Edison's light bulb is famous at this point. I mean, he tried about 1,000 different kinds of filaments in a bulb before he found the one that worked.
Sure, absolutely.
And he said, "I could have quit a long time ago, but then I wouldn't have figured it out. I found out all these, you know, 1,000 ways it doesn't work."
Well, what's amazing, Steve, is we learn by feedback. You know, that's how, I mean, we have been trained since the very beginning to depend on feedback, and yet for some reason we get older, we forget that, and we now begin to look at it as failure. But go back, you know, if you have young children or have had young children or grandchildren, then you've observed this. As a child tries to begin to walk, you know, they will attempt to walk and they will fail. They will fall down. I've never seen a child on the first attempt walk, but they will attempt to walk, and the feedback will be negative. They will not get the feedback they're looking for. They know what they want to do. They've you know, witnessed adults doing it. They're trying to pattern that behavior, and they will attempt to do the same thing they've seen, but it doesn't work. They get the feedback, they stop, they process it, and they go back and they do it again. Well, that's how we learned everything that we know now, is through that feedback loop, that process. And yet, when the older we get, we kind of look at that and we go, "Oh no, I don't want feedback. I don't want to fail." And but that's how real growth takes place, and that's how real progress takes place.
Well, I think part of it is a sense that, you know, it's part of its ego. You know, you get to where you think, "Well, I'm an adult now. I should know how to do this.
Sure.
I should have this figured out by now." And as soon as you get in that mindset, then you stop willing to take chances and try new things. And because you think it's just all wrong. It's like people who decide that, you know, once they've graduated from school, learning stops.
Well, right.
No, that's not true. You know, you learn the most important things you ever learn outside of school.
Sure.
But people don't realize that. So I'm going to ask you a question. We've got all these folks on the call, and we'll have, you know, people listening to replays and whatnot. What do these folks need to be doing in order to sail through this economic downturn and become really financially successful in spite of all that?
Well, you know, it's never about the money. So, you know, I think you have to get off the idea that that it has anything to do at all with money. That's what I consider to be a limiting belief. In fact, I grew up with that limiting belief because it was spread throughout my family. I didn't come from a family of entrepreneurs. You know, most of the people in my family, we did have a few people that owned businesses, but most of the people in my family were people who worked for someone else, and they had done that for generations. And so consequently, what happens is you develop a mentality and a belief. And the belief was it takes money to make money. And they see people with money, and they figure, well, that's how they got the money. Well, that's a very bad limiting belief to have, because if you believe it takes money to make money and you don't have any money, then you're probably going to have to resign yourself to the idea that you'll never, ever be in business for yourself.
Right.
The reality and the truth, and this is what I had to come to realize and what I had to change my limiting belief to the truth, and the truth is it doesn't take money to make money. What it takes to make money is an idea. So right now, there are so many opportunities being created that, you know, give you an example. Bob Proctor taught me this principle, and it's such a powerful, powerful principle. It's called the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity says that in order to have an inside, you must have an outside. In other words, you wouldn't know what inside was if the outside did not exist.
Right. It's the two sides of a coin. And
you have to have the, yeah, you have to have, there has to, there's a front and a back. You could not have a front if you did not have a back. You could not have up if you did not have down. And on and on and on. Everything has, you know, an equal opposite. And so right now when you look at this, you can look and see, well, this is a terrible, terrible opportunity and, you know, a terrible, terrible time. But we know from the law of reciprocity that if that view exists, then the other view is also there and present, and that is, it is a great, great time. See, if it's if something is a small opportunity, then the reverse of that is it's a small chance for failure as well. So the greater the opportunity for success, then the greater the opportunity for failure. But it's still a phenomenal, phenomenal opportunity, and today there are so many people that are wandering around frozen. And so, you know, you can serve today. People can serve today in ways that they may never have imagined. And that, in reality, that's what it's all about. You get paid in this world. Money is transferred from person to person in direct proportion to the service that you render. Now, people could say some of the things that went on in Wall Street, and yes, I know that there's some money systems and things that go on, but if you boil it all down, even at the bottom of all of that, and even though sometimes it's not legitimate and sometimes it's not what we'd want it to be, it still has some type of service that was rendered. There is something that was provided, and that's what we get rewarded for. The reason that Bill Gates, for quite a few years, sat at the top of the wealthiest people in the world is because, you know, he rendered a lot of service to a lot of people. So what are the opportunities now for you to render service? What things are out there today? Maybe, you know, what is one sure positive thing? I had someone the other day who was laid off from their job, and they said their first thought was, you know, what a bummer, and you know, how are they going to, you know, handle things, and what's going to happen to their future and all of that.
Right.
That was their first response. But the longer they thought about it, they realized, you know, I've never liked that job, and I've always wanted to do something else, and I've always thought I could do something else, and I've always thought I had talent in other areas. So what this is really doing is it's giving me the opportunity to go find something else to do. And that, in fact, is what that was. A golden opportunity to really do something with their life that they want to do instead of what they have to do, and the likelihood is that they're going to actually financially end up being more successful than they would have had they stayed in the place that they were. So that's where you have to, you know, there is opportunity there. It's always present, but it's more heightened now, And so what are some of those opportunities? Now is the time, not the time to pull back. I was on the phone the other night in a group call with a gentleman who has a business, and he was telling me that he has actually increased his marketing budget and has found that that has helped his business because the other people in his industry are pulling back. They're reducing their marketing budget, which is the, you know, what would the masses do? I mean, how do they think? And that's exactly how they think, whereas the opportunists, the people who are going to do well, are the people who are contrarian. You know, Warren Buffett is a contrarian. He goes contrary to what the masses do. He goes contrary to what most people do. That's why he has what he has. And so stop and ask yourself the question today about something you're about to do or you're thinking about doing. Is this something that the masses would do, or is this a contrarian view? If it's contrarian view, it's probably the right step, to take. I think I've heard it said that, the only position to be in the herd is at the front of the herd. all the other places in the herd are not such good positions to be. Actually, I think the best place to be is to be passing the herd going in the other direction. So if you see the herd coming and you're facing them and you're going in the other direction, you're probably headed for success.
What you're talking about is power, right? When you talk about claim your power, you're talking about rising above what's going on around you and seeing the opportunities and trusting that what's going on is something you can work with and move forward, right?
Right, absolutely. No question. You know, it does come down to, what we call claiming your power, because again, it all begins inside of you. It's your choice, and once you know that, you know what happens to you, the result is your choice. And once you can believe that, embrace that, regardless of circumstance, you know. And again, picked up a lot from Bob Proctor, and this is definitely something that I picked up, is most people look at their current circumstance, and that is what they allow to influence their thinking. They look at their current circumstance, whatever that may be. They just got laid off, or, you know, they're behind in their mortgage, or whatever that is. They look at their current circumstance, and that's what influences their thinking. Well, that causes them to make decisions based on that thinking that are going to create actions, and those actions are not going to create the kind of results that they want. Whereas the world class don't look at their present circumstance. They look at where they want to go. There is a vision or a goal that they're looking at. They disregard the present circumstance. They realize that the present circumstance is only the result of their earlier thinking. So if they want to change the present circumstance, you don't look at it, because it continues. Then it becomes a feedback loop, and it's just the cat chasing its tail.
Right.
And in reality, it actually cycles and spirals down. It gets worse. So you don't look at where you're at. You look at where you want to go. And if you do that, then your circumstances will change. And when they improve, again, you don't stop and you look at them. There is some evaluation, which we don't have time on this call to go into that whole evaluation process, but you don't dwell on, you don't linger, you don't overanalyze, overthink your present circumstances. They are what they are as a result of the decisions that you've made earlier. To change those, you must make different decisions, and you must move in a different direction. Choose that direction, you begin to take steps there, and you move in that direction, and if you do, then the results will change. And you repeat that cycle.
Right. So there's a lot of skills around all this. Of course, there's knowing there's extracting the lessons when they're there. There's having a vision in the first place. There's understanding that when you try something, you know, that your circumstances are something to take personal responsibility for, and several other things. All those together, that's the power that lets you get into that positive cycle instead of the negative. I've heard Bob Proctor talk about a lot of this stuff. And Earl Nightingale before that, and it's eye-opening information for folks who have not been exposed to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Eye-opening information for those of us who have. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean,
you know, I will go back and read a book that I've read 20, 30, 40 times, and you know, Magic Thinking Big. I had that one out the other day. I was talking to somebody about it, so I decided I'd sit down and read some of it, because it's been a little bit of time since I've read it, and I probably read the book 50 times. And I'm sitting there reading. I'm going, oh, my gosh, I don't remember reading this. And of course, that's because my consciousness has changed. Because I've grown since I read it before, then my perspective has changed, my understanding has changed. So I'm reading different stuff in that book now. So it never changes. The there's the mystery of all of this that to me that keeps me always seeking more and seeking a deeper understanding of those truths, and they're basic and they're ageless, and they never come into style and go out of style. They are just simply there, and it's what everything functions on.
Well, you know, this is great. What I wanted to make sure to ask you to do is talk a little bit about Claim Your Power Now, how it came about, and kind of what the seminars are about, and kind of what you're doing with all that now.
Well, you know, it came about originally because in October of 1997, you know, I shared earlier about how what a great financial year that was, $14,027. In October of that year, again, seeking the truth, seeking a way out, I heard about a seminar that was going to be in Jacksonville, and so I scraped together the money to go get a ticket and scrape together some coins. I'm sure back then you could scrape together coins to get enough gas to put in the car, and put enough gas in the car to get up there. And it was a weekend event, and on Saturday night my life was turned upside down when I heard the speaker on stage utter the 13 words, "The size of your success is determined by the size of your belief." Those words just hit me between the eyes, rocked my life. I knew instantly. I mean, tears came to my eyes. There was no doubt it connected with my spirit. There was no question that that was a piece of the puzzle that I had been missing. And so I went to work on my belief over the next 90 days, and my life began to change. And, of course, a year later, it created a six-figure income and went on to a seven-figure business. And the that Saturday night influenced my life so much. I would not be talking to you today. I would not have built a subscriber list of over 300,000 people from around the world. All the things that we've been able to accomplish had that not happened that Saturday night. I shudder to think where my life would be had I not gone to that event, had there not been an event, et cetera. So after we'd had some success, I decided I wanted to share with other people the same opportunity for that kind of experience. So we put together some weekend events structured very much like the one that I had been to, where we could create an environment that people could come in and in during that weekend could experience some teaching and training that would put them into the change process and send them home with some tools that they could claim the power over themselves and begin to claim the power over things in their life. And we had the first one in Atlanta, and I was very, very honored that Bob Proctor and Jim Rohn agreed to headline it, the first and only time that those two legendary gentlemen have ever appeared together at the same time.
Really?
We were able to get them for that event, and along with 8-10 other world-class speakers. And that's how it started. And so over time, we've continued to produce those. And this past year in Dallas, we had Dennis Waitley, who was an early influence in my life, did an incredible job. And again, we had a lot of other trainers, and we've had Laurel Langmire, the Millionaire Maker,
mm-hmm.
Lisa Jimenez, the author of Conquer Fear, Cynthia Kersey, the author of Unstoppable. Jim Stovall, the guy who went blind when he was 29, went on to, there is a major motion picture starring James Garner called The Ultimate Gift, which Jim wrote. Phenomenal speaker, Rene Godefroy, a Haitian immigrant, who has an incredible story that if you ever want to quit, you listen to his story, you renew and recharge your enthusiasm. So that was the history of it. That's why we created them. And then, of course, each and every event, we record them and then edit them professionally and make that message available in audio and video to people who weren't able to make it to the event.
Well, I'm aware that you have a release going on, and I wanted to make a link available to everybody who's listening to the call. If you were to go to www.wealthchoicecalls.com/power, P-O-W-E-R, the link is on the call page for this call. If you're logged in, otherwise I'll give it one more time, www.wealthchoicecalls.com/power. If you take a click over there, you'll get a better look at what Vic's doing with Claim Your Power Now. There's an offer there he's making available for us in this series, and I hope you'll take a look. Do you want to say anything more about it?
Well, you know, that's I'm more proud of that piece probably than anyone that we've done, because it had, you know, when The Secret came out, it really took the world by storm. I mean, it was like wildfire, and people who have never, ever been exposed to any of these truths were, you know, ended up watching The Secret and were just amazed by all the teaching that they had. But you know, a lot of people had their hopes up and watched that movie, and it's a great movie, but it really kind of just opened meant to open your eyes. It was an incomplete movie, and I think people looked at it as a total solution. It was never meant to be a total solution, but a lot of people looked at it and thought, well, this is it, you know.
Right.
And so consequently, you know, several years later now, we find ourselves with a lot of people, millions of people who are frustrated and discouraged that they weren't able to realize, you know, the hope and aspirations that they had as a result of watching that movie. So we, in Los Angeles, we decided that we would put on an event which we called Beyond the Secret, and we would take and teach how to activate the law of attraction and the different universal principles that are found in The Secret. And the word activate is important, Steve, because anything, doesn't matter how good the principle is, if you don't activate the principle, then the principle is inert. It doesn't move. It doesn't do anything. I use this example because to me it really demonstrates how important activation is. If you took the gasoline in your car, the equivalent explosive power of that, it would take 500 sticks of dynamite to equal the explosive power in the gasoline in your car. But that gasoline in your car is an innocent, mostly safe liquid if it's not activated. I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to rub it all over you, but if you got some on you, it wouldn't hurt you. You wouldn't want to drink it, but if you drank it, you know, you'd probably get sick, but it wouldn't kill you. You know, it's not something that you'd be serving at dinner, but it's a relatively innocent liquid. But you take a spark, and it doesn't take much of a spark, just a tiny spark, and you convert that innocent liquid into the power of 500 sticks of dynamite. That's what happens with activation. So what we wanted to do was to bring together some of the best teachers in the world. We brought together Bob Proctor and Laura Langmire, both of whom were on The Secret,
right,
along with eight other world-class teachers, to teach people how to activate the law of attraction and activate the principles that were on the movie The Secret. And we call that Claim Your Power Now, Volume 3. It actually introduced for the very first time today. We've been editing it for a long time. It is a great piece. Like I say, that's why I'm most proud of that. And we have a very special offer, and send people to that link, and they'll be able to see that offer.
Okay. That's terrific. I'm gonna give that link just one more time. www.wealthchoicecalls.com/power. Vic, this has been great. Not going to use any more of your busy time. I know you've got other things to run off to do, but I want to thank you so much for being in the series. And
Steve, it's been great. You're doing great work, and we appreciate being a part of it.
I'm delighted, and I think it's going to be terrific as the calls go by, and I hope everybody on the call, who I want to thank also for being here, I hope you'll continue to come back and listen to the speakers that are coming up in the series. At the end of each call, I'm going to ask for feedback for those of you that are listening to let me know what you thought of this call, what you thought of the material, what could be improved for next time. I'd really like to know. And my address is steve@wealthismychoice.com. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. And I hope you'll call in again to the Wealth Choice Teleseminar Series. Thanks one more time, Vic.
Thank you, Steve.
And bye-bye for now.